You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
You know, sometimes we just take things for granted as if we deserve stuff. And it might help sometime that you just went to the pastor of this church or the people that's doing the cooking and said, "We really thank you." They get up early in the morning to prepare all this. They stay late cleaning up. And it won't cost a penny to say thank you.
He really likes to be ugly.
Well, whether they do or not, they always say thank you. Anyhow, don't forget that. Breakfast, 9 o'clock, this church supports it. Thank you again for not putting paper goods and liquid in the butt cans. You're doing good. Yeah. In fact, today I was back there getting them cleaned up, and old Robert that helps us, he said, "They did a pretty good job last week, didn't they?" And I said, "Yeah, they did. We're getting better at it." So thank you for doing that. So tonight, we want you to enjoy yourself. I hope that we've got something that will help you make it. And we'll just pray that God will work with us in doing that. Brother Charles is going to come and sing. And you doing this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Good song. They'll understand.
Leland brought this song to us a long time ago. And it took us a while to get it. And I'm not sure we got it yet, but it's a doggone good song. The name of it is "They May Know My Number, But Jesus Knows My Name." And it come from a guy that was in Huntsville that was walking through the graveyard out there. Some of you may know the place we're talking about. They have the white crosses, but they don't have anybody's names. All they've got is their number on him. And this guy came to know the Lord while he was there, and he thought, you know, it's pretty sad that that they bury us out here and don't even put our name on our grave. But then after he got to know the Lord, he said, you know what? It really don't matter if they know my name or not, because Jesus knows who I am. And that's what this song says.
Made mistakes in my life, and I'm reaping what I had sown. So I feel like I got it wrong. One more time. I'm doing my time like all the rest, safe and waiting on my parole. Though I'm still locked up, I've been set free by the blood of the precious Lamb. I may be locked up for just sin, but he knows who I am. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. I may spend some time behind these bars, Jesus has loosed my chain. Now I'm a new man with a new heart. I will never be the same. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. Though a sinner repents from his sin, and he calls on the name of the Lord, his name is written in the book of life when the angels all rejoice. And though he's been locked up, he'll still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Though they may not know who he is, Jesus knows who I am. They may know my number, Jesus knows my name. They may know our number, Jesus knows our name. We might be locked up behind some bars, but Jesus has loosed our chains. We can new man, a new heart, and we will never be the same. Jesus knows our name. They may know our number, but Jesus, He knows our name.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again sometime soon.
Very good. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, if you will. And if you don't have a Bible, if you'd like to have one, if you'll raise your hand, we'll get you one. Okay. We got our Bible guys back here. While we're waiting for that to do that, I think I'll turn my phone off. In the book of Romans, Paul said that everything written in the Bible was written for our learning. Now, he didn't say everything written in the Bible was written to us. God told Noah to build an ark. He told Abraham to go into a far country. And if Abraham had built an ark and Noah had gone into a far country, they'd been disobedient. And so there's certain things that God says to us, but he said we can learn from all of them. Back in the book of Judges, and this was when the nation of Israel just had judges. They had no king at this time. And they'd get a good judge, and they'd do good, and as soon as he'd die or be replaced, they'd go back to the wild bunch. And then the same thing would happen the next time, maybe 10 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 20 years. And then they'd get in all kind of trouble and hurt and pain, and they'd start asking God for help, and he'd send them another judge. And so we're going to talk about one of those judges. A name that many of you are familiar with, named Gideon. And so back in the 6th chapter of Judges, in fact in the 6th and 7th chapter of Judges, God is relating a story about a weak, poor individual named Gideon that became a winner. And he became a winner like any of us can become a winner. He didn't have any special abilities. In fact, he come from a poor family. His whole family was poor. He came from a family that was just trying to eke out a living as a wheat farmer. He came from not a very good Christian family, because his daddy had some altars built to the wrong god. And Gideon had a lot of questions. He didn't have much faith. He just wanted to know why. And in fact, when the angel of the Lord approached him to tell him what he wanted him to do, he said, "If you're all so great, if God's so good, then why is this happening to me? Why is this going on?" And a lot of us do that. We, if you're really a good God, how come I got sentenced? We forget that maybe there was a crime involved in there somewhere, you know, but not us. Somebody else's fault. But And then Gideon, like most of us, like Moses did even, when the angel of the Lord, I want you to look at, let's just start with verse 1 for a minute. He said, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They're out there hiding out. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they come up against them. They encamped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth, means they took their crops, till they come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They took everything they had. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all them that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. It seemed that Israel would see all of the miracles of God, and it didn't last 20 days. They straightened up for a little bit. And many of us know that by experience. Oh Lord, if you just cut me some slack, that judge, I'll go to church every Sunday. Oh Lord, if you get me out of this, here's what I'll do. It finally dawned on me one time. I'm a real slow learner, but it dawned on me that the fact if I went to church didn't impress anybody anyhow. Sure enough, God. That's what I should have been doing. That's like saying, if you'll pay me, I'll work for it. I'm making so much money, and so I want you to just pay me if I don't work. And so this, the angel of the Lord in verse 12 went to Gideon. Back in verse 11, it said Gideon thrashed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. That's all they got to eat. He's got to keep this hid. The Midianites are taking everything that they've got. They're slaves to the Midianites. And so the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And old Gideon kind of scratching his head. Now he said, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which your fathers told us about? He said, I heard about all the miracles, and I'm not seeing any. He said, if God is really with us, why are we in this storm? Why is this happening to us? Anybody ever asked that? Lord, if you really the God of love, how come that my daddy died? How come that this happens and that happens? We don't ever want to talk about what we did, maybe because it happened. Nobody wants to admit that hey, I got a liver problem because of drinking that whiskey. I got a lung problem. I've had this 2/3 of this left lung gone. And I didn't want to tell, but I was just going to say I got sick. I didn't want to tell people it's Marlboro Lights. we have things that take place in our lives that we've done that causes this. But old Gideon is saying, now, why? What is this? I've heard about those Egypt miracles, but, and notice verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherefore shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He starts alibiing. He starts saying, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And God's orders are kind of interesting here. If you'll just go to the 25th verse. He said, it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altars of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God. Notice, before he used to build an altar, he had to tear one down, get rid of some stuff. Before you really going to be God's shining example, you may have to start paying child support that you're behind on. You may have to start making a hand when you work it. You may need to do some things instead of wanting to talk about the Lord. What about you and people? When the church at Jerusalem chose 7 deacons, the first thing that they looked for were men of good report. Second thing you looked for was people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. You'd think it'd be right to reverse. They wanted, you have to have a good reputation. Do people count you a quitter, a loser, a slacker? Or they say, that guy says what he means what he says. He'll give you 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. That's the type of person he is. And he said, tear that altar down, get rid of it, and then build the right one. Before you can start building up your Christianity, you may have to give up some things. Because as long as you're doing them, people are not going to believe you. I was talking to my little brother about Jesus right after I got saved. And he looked at me and he said, you taught me to drink. Now you telling me not to? I never will forget that. And he had a hard life. In fact, he went for a judge, and they can't do this anymore, but he went for a judge. And the judge said, you can enlist in a service, or you can go to prison. And he enlisted in a service, and in Vietnam, in some rice paddies, he got saved. Came home after getting 2 Purple Hearts and got killed in a car wreck. But that was so cutting when he said what he said, you taught me to drink. Now you're going to have to teach me not to. We just can't go back on some of them. Now when Gideon tore down that false altar to the false god, people got mad at him. The Midianites got mad at him. And they came after him. Back in, look at verse 36 here. And Gideon turned unto God and said, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. Notice he's still doubting. He's not into this totally. He said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be upon the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth, Beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. Many of you, if you were in Sunday school or anything, remember Gideon, he's the one put out the fleece. He wanted to try God. A lot of us still do that, and God's never promised to do that. You say, well, Lord, if you want me to do that, show me this sign, or do this, or do that. God doesn't promise to do it. He did with old Gideon, shows he'll do it one time. He didn't do it with a lot of people, showing he's not going to do it every time. But anyway, notice that God did that for him. He said, it was so, for he rose up early on tomorrow and thrust the fleece together and rang dew out of the fleece. Man, and it was just, wasn't on the ground, just on that fleece. Now then, and Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. He reversed. Oh, still doubting God, still questioning God. In verse 40, last verse of chapter 6, God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. And then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early, and they headed to fight the Midianites. Verse 2, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me. You got too many. Now, none of these guys are soldiers. They, and we'll see that they had some really pathetic weapons. But he said, you got too many. Now, over in the 8th chapter of Judges, verse 10, if you want to check this out, it said that the Midianites had 135,000 troops. And God says to Gideon, you got too many. You know how many he had? Had 32,000. Now that's about 4 to 1. But he said, you got too many. So Gideon went to him and said, hey, anybody that's scared, frightful, and don't want to fight, go home. And 22,000 of them left. Mercy. Now he's got 12,000. The odds are not getting good for Gideon. And then God tells him, Gideon, you got too many. 12,000 against 135,000. What do you mean too many? You got too many. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take them down to the lake and let them drink water. And I want to see how they do it. And there were some that just run down there and fell down on their hands and knees and stuck their head in water, started drinking the water. But there were a few that when they knelt down and reached down and got the water and brought it up to here, but they stayed alert. They were looking around all the time. God said, that's the guy I want. Take him. Well, out of that 12,000, you only had 300 to do that. Gideon has got 300 soldiers, as it were, to go against 135,000 Midianites. I did the math on this. It's 450 Midianites versus one Jew. I remember years ago in the Six-Day War, some of you remember it, most of you won't, you're not that old. But these two Jewish guys were out because the Jews, the government had made an edict that forever one of the Ishmaelites, every one of the other tribe, the other people that they captured, for any enemy that the Jew captured, they'd give them $500. and these two Jews were out looking at, were going to make themselves some money and find them somebody to get, and they got tired and they lay down and took a nap on the tree, and one of them woke up and they are surrounded by all these people. They're surrounded by the enemy. Everywhere he looks, there's soldiers, enemy. He reaches over and shakes the other one, and he said, Abby, wake up, we're rich. That's kind of a positive outlook. He probably read about these 300, I guess. I want you to notice Gideon's weapons. This is really kind of interesting, because he gives them verse 16 of chapter 7. He divided the 300 men into three companies. That's 100 apiece. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers, and those were clay pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so you do. He's talking to his 300. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp. And in the beginning of the middle watch, they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord. And Gideon, twice they make this comment. This is kind of interesting. I never thought about this before, because God could have handled all this without Gideon. God could have done like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He could just rain fire and brimstone and stop the Midianites. Or over in the book of 2 Kings, there's one angel that kills 185,000 people. Just one angel. He could have sent him. I only got 135,000. But as you read this Bible, this is fascinating. As you read the Bible, you find that God one time used an ox goad. You punch the ox and make him go. He used a tent peg, and it was driven through the temple and nailed this guy to the ground. He used a millstone. Here he uses lamps and pitchers. One time he used the jawbone of an ass, which has always given me encouragement. And he used a talking donkey. Now, let me tell you, if God can use those things, he can use anybody in here. Because he always prepares his people for whatever he's got for them. And it is amazing. It's the sword of the Lord and Gideon. It could have been just the sword of the Lord. But God included Gideon, this poor wheat farmer. He's got, and the thing about it, because of this story, because of what Gideon did with his 300 people, you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that it lists the heroes of the Old Testament, and Gideon's name is right there. Here's a guy that was a chump that became a champion, all because of what God could do with him. They blew the trumpet. They break that pitcher and held up the light. Now, in the middle of the night, we just read where they went in the middle of the second watch, about 12 o'clock at night. In the middle of the night, three different areas around the Mennonites. They hear a trumpet blast. They hear the breaking of the pitchers, and they see the flash of light. And evidently, they assume this is a huge army attacking us, and in the process, they tried to escape and begin to kill one another. And they win. They defeat them. Notice verse 10 of chapter 8. We got some weird names here. Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkar, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left to the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And most of them killed one another with Gideon's 300. We are so afraid that if we turn anything over to God, He'll just hang us out to dry. Or if we should surrender to Him, He's going to send us to Lower Slobovia. If we want to dedicate our lives to Him, that He may want us to take the vow of poverty. God always takes care of His people. And He doesn't give them anything to do that will do anything but bring them joy and peace and happiness. We talk about Paul and how far down, having been a big shot, and he goes to a nothing. But in the process, he has the joy and the peace that passeth all understanding in his life. He's in a prison. Roman prison, make our TDC look like the Holiday Inn. And he's happy. He has no problems. He's saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If he just said, I can do all things, he's bragging. But he said, I can do all things through Christ. Later on in that chapter, he said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And he prays not to get out of prison, but to be an ambassador in bonds. Help me be a good witness for you, Lord. Help me be what you'd have me to be. I remember one of the officers in the sheriff's department right after I started going to the old county jail down here years ago. And we were talking about somebody, and he said, Leland, remember this. You'd serve Jesus in prison, in jail, as well as you can out. I don't know how many people said, when I get out, this is what I'm going to do. Well, won't you do it now? We're always going to do something. American people are the worst about it. We're going to go on a diet. We're going to get some more education. We're going to learn computer. We're going to learn how to play the guitar. We're going to. But we don't do it. We just talk about it. But Gideon, with weird weapons, with a ragtag army, becomes one of God's chosen people. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Maybe God has been dealing with you. Maybe He's got something for you to do. Maybe it just has to do with your salvation. God's been bothering you about it. God's been dealing with your heart a little bit about it. And you know. Some of you come from some Bible-believing families. Some of you didn't. But this is not the first time that you've been exposed to Jesus Christ and His Word. And you know that He's nudging you and touching your heart, and that you need to come and trust Him tonight. Others of you, maybe God's got you something for you to do. And you need to shape up and quit playing. Let me tell you about Christianity, and we're missing the whole point most of the time. I was reading the other day about someplace with the kids. They said, well, we're going to have, it's fun to be a Christian. Well, evidently they hadn't been one very long. You never read where Jesus laughed. You never read. What you do read is that he wept. It's tough. It's not for sissies, we might say. But if you want the peace and the joy that comes from God alone, you can have it if you'll mean business with Jesus Christ. And you say, Leland, pray for me. It may be salvation, it may be something else, but God's dealing with my heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Would you slip up your hand if God's dealing with you tonight? I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. I see yours. Yes. You slip them back down. Anybody else? Yes, I see yours over here and yours. Yeah. Anybody else? Real quickly. Anybody else? Just slip your hand. Yes, ma'am. I see it. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. Slip them back. Yes, ma'am. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everybody in here. We can't con you. You know. And Father, I also know that you don't want anybody to leave here without getting that victory that comes from yourself. That's why you sent your son. Your word said that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, most of us are like Gideon. We don't have anything to offer you, but you've got so much to offer us. So Father, in a moment, as we offer the invitation, may those that lifted their hands come forward and say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to mean business with God. I trust Christ as my Savior. And we know, Father, you never turned anybody away. You never said it's too late. You never said you're too bad. You've never turned anybody away. That's the miracle. You're still working in this day and time. Won't you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Brother Charles starts on the very first verse of Just As I Am, I want you to come. We'll have somebody meet with you, talk with you, show you how to get to heaven or whatever you need. Come on, right now. Come on. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus knocked on your door tonight, would you let him in? That's what we're asking you to do. Just let him in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not going to break in. You'll have to invite him in. But he said, any man that come unto me shall be saved. One more verse. Brother Charles, you lifted your hand. Come on, let us help you.
Just as I
come on.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.